Praise the Lord, everyone. I would like to say tonight that all that I am and all that I ever hope to be is because of a man called Jesus. And to God be the glory. I feel the joy of the Lord tonight. We have vacillated back and forth from real deep, sort of a weeping touch, to that which borders on the explosive. We just sort of don't really hit either vein, but we just have vacillated back and forth. The presence of God is wonderfully in this place. And God has given me something recently that I want to share with you. It comes from the foundation for my thinking tonight. It comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Would you stand for the reading of the word of the Lord? And while you are standing, I want to say what a great privilege it is to work with all those of you who are connected with the singles ministry. God is raising up a whole generation of people in our day that are going to be mightily used by God. But it's men like Brother Gray, Brother Butcher, and others that we have heard and that I could mention that give us a foundation that is unshakable, that we can draw from for security. It's an anchor in the time of storm. And I thank God for that. I thank God for it. In other words, what I'm saying is, we have the best of it all. They're all among us. The singing, the music, the instruments. I mean, you won't find anything better than this. The best of all. They're among us. And that's because of you. Everyone say, me. We clap a lot for Jesus, but I think sometimes we ought to clap for ourselves a little bit. As far as I'm concerned, if you really live for God in this hour, you're really something. If you really walk with Jesus and behave yourself in this hour with all the pressures that are out there and the voices that speak to you, you are something. Because this thing is not designed for sissies and weaklings. It takes a real man to live for God, and it takes a real woman to live for God. The wishy-washy will never make it in this, because this is a fight. This is a battle. You're either battling or building all the time. You never get a reprieve. It's one or the other. But tonight, I want to work with this subject. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 13, the Bible says, now here's what happened. Here's what has happened. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven. This thing didn't come from the devil. The Bible says there came a sound from heaven. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, set upon each of them. They were all filled. Everyone say, filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. That caused no little stir in Jerusalem. So at verse 13, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. I don't know if that's a compliment or not. I think it was a derogatory statement, to tell you the truth. But then I found something else in the book of Ephesians, and I've given lots of thought to this through the years. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 18, the admonition of the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus was, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's some kind of a statement. That's some kind of a parallel. So tonight I simply want to entitle this, Step Up to the Bar. I want you to lift your hand, and I want you to worship the Lord and let your voice out for just a moment. But Jesus, tonight we stand, O Lord, once again in the awesome presence of a living God. We are thanking you tonight for the goodness of the Lord. Because, O Lord, it is written that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I pray for great joy to sweep over this place tonight. For the demonstration of freedom, O Lord, to be in this place. From the front to the back, from the back to the front, from the left to the right, from the right to the left. I pray that you will walk in this place and rejoice with us. I'm asking for the anointing of God to be upon us to hear and to speak. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I feel the spirit of rejoicing. I feel the spirit of joy. I feel the spirit of happiness. There are tears in this place. There is laughter in this place. There is joy in this place. There's revelation here. There's understanding. And oh God, tonight we lift our voices. We clap our hands. We dance with our feet. We sing with our voices. But we present our bodies tonight a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Have your will in your way, I pray tonight, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Would you clap uproariously for the Lord? Well, someone brings me a glass of water. I'm going to need a glass of water. Would you clap your hands and worship the Lord? This is the last night. And basically, we have prayed ourselves through by this time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I wonder what would happen if every man, if every woman, if every boy, if every girl would really clap and get involved. Some of you aren't participating. You need to participate. You need to lift your voice and worship the Lord. Because this is the house of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's wonderful what I feel. I feel a freedom in this house. A wonderful freedom in this house tonight. And I thank God for it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You may be seated. Have you ever watched anybody get drunk? Have you ever seen anybody that is drunk? There are certain things that have to happen to them. They deteriorate from an attitude or a state of control to a state that is out of control. Some people get sort of glassy-eyed, and they get happy. Others get very quiet. But they're in some kind of a euphoric state that they normally don't walk in. I've seen some people that were drunken that just did things they would never do if they were just not drunk. Some people, they get drunk, they get sort of giddy sometimes, and they will talk out of their head. I've seen them stagger and fall out. There are some similarities between being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. You can prove it scripturally. On the day of Pentecost, when those disciples and other believers with them at 9 o'clock in the morning came tumbling out of that upper room, the crowd that looked on said, "This bunch is drunk. They must have been in there all night long." In other words, there was something about them that reminded the viewers of any drunk on the street or any drunk falling out of a local pub. These people came stumbling out of the upper room and they were acting like they had been at the bottle the whole night long. But Peter, standing up with the 11, said, "These men are not drunken as ye have supposed. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They haven't had time to get drunk." He said, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." He said, "This is that." Everybody say, "This is that." Say it again. So what I'm really saying here tonight is this. You can drink tonight until your head gets light. You can drink your troubles away. They can fade away. You can drink tonight until the world looks good to you. I mean, there is something flowing in this house tonight that is richer, that is richer, that is greater, that is more wonderful than any human tongue can ever tell. There's no reason tonight in this atmosphere for sadness to prevail. There's no reason tonight for any kind of trouble to prevail. We are in the presence of the Lord, and in the presence of the Lord, anything can happen. Anything is possible in the presence of Jesus. And as Pentecostals, we can declare that more than anybody else that walks on the face of the earth. Only people who have spoken with tongues in Christianity act like this. Only people who speak with tongues can act like this in Christianity. Everybody else thinks we're a bunch of fanatics. They think we are far out. We are fanatics, and we are far out. And we're going to get more far out, because one of these days we're going to go over yonder where we'll never, 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 never tire, and we'll always be able to act like this without ever, ever crashing somewhere. Oh, clap again. I can feel it coming. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to read something to you tonight that staggered my imagination. I want to read something that staggered my imagination. Aldous Huxley was the grandson of Sir Julian Huxley, scholar and contemporary thinker with Charles Darwin, who wrote The Origin of the Species and The Descent of Man. This man passed this information I'm about to give you down to his children. And that man, he really thought, existed only for pleasure. That was his thinking. And he passed that down to his children. That thought was passed on to his grandsons, Thomas and Aldous Huxley. Aldous Huxley died, some time ago now, but he wrote an essay one time entitled, Wanted a New Pleasure. And he said, as far as I can see, the only possible new pleasure would be derived from the invention of a new drug, which would provide a harmless substitute for alcohol. He said, if I were a millionaire, I would endow a band of research workers to look for the ideal intoxicant. He said, if we could sniff or swallow something that would abolish inferiority and entone us with our fellows in a glowing exaltation of affection and make this life in all of its aspects seem only, not only worth living, but divinely beautiful and significant, and if this heavenly world transforming drug were of such a kind that we could wake up next morning with a clear head and undamaged constitution, then it seems to me that all our problems would be solved and the earth would be a paradise. He wrote about it. Aldous Huxley also said he would hope for nothing more than to die in a drug trip, and he did. He died insensitized by drugs. We now know that alcohol does have some effect on people. I've sat in restaurants and I've watched them transform in the course of a meal. The conversation gets loud. They get boisterous, and sometimes they get vulgar. It is interesting that he said it would abolish inferiority. Inferiority complexes are one of the greatest problems among us in this hour. The feeling of inferiority, the feeling that you're not as good as others, the feeling that you cannot do it. And Huxley wanted something that would somehow raise man above all of that. In other words, he wanted to get beyond that. But I know a man, I know a man, I know a man who said, if you will come to me and drink, you will never thirst again. He said, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. What kind of a message is that? What kind of thinking is that? You're going to find out here tonight. went on to say in his little discourse, he wanted something that would atone us with our fellows. There's no drink that I know anything about or I've ever heard anyone talk about that makes you love others. Love only comes through effort and sacrifice. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. So demonstration of true love would come at great cost. I had an English communications teacher in high school that told me, she said, Lee, if in this life, she said, if in this life you gain one friend and keep that friend all of life through, she said, count yourself of all people most fortunate. I want to tell you something tonight. I am 50 years old. I was 50 years old this summer. I cannot tell you how many people in 50 years have walked in and out of my life and called themselves my friends. But where are they tonight? Where are they tonight? I can tell you tonight that friends come and go, but Jesus comes and stays. He comes and stays. People will disappoint you, but there is no disappointment in Jesus. And when everything is gone, Jesus is enough. When everything is gone, Jesus is enough. Hallelujah. Maybe in life you'll have a half a dozen, two or three people that you can really talk to, that you can pour your heart out, not worry about what they might say or repeat. A poet wrote and said, oh, the comfort, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person, having neither to weigh thoughts or measure words, but pouring them out chaff and grain together, sure that a faithful hand will take them and keep what is worth keeping, and with the breath of kindness blow the rest away. That's what real friendship is. But where can you find them in this hour? And how do you find them in this hour? I'm talking about out there, and unfortunately in here sometimes. People drink to belong. They need to be loved. They want something that will lift them from their broken state. Huxley said, I want something that will make this life divinely beautiful and significant. People do drink as an escape from boredom, dullness, home, jobs, problems. Drink has some effect, but it is only temporary. Alcohol is only temporary. Is it possible that drunkenness is a sad tribute to something that is in man, that one that cannot be satisfied with mediocrity? Something that is in the human heart that says, I really want to be somebody. I really do want to do something in my life and with my life. I want to do something worthwhile. I really would like to love people. I'd like to do something good for people. So by drinking, they vicariously, may be trying to satisfy the tremendous desire in the human heart to be accepted, to be loved, to be accomplished, to be something. I really believe about humanity that there is something noble in the human heart. But I can tell you tonight that alcohol and drugs and all the rest of it is a cheap substitute for the real thing. This alcohol business, this pushing of dope in your veins, that's the best thing the devil has to offer. It's all he can conjure up. And it is destructive, but this new wine that flows down from heaven's throne, it is not a substitute. It is the real thing. What I've got in my heart tonight is the real thing. What I feel in my soul tonight is the real thing. You cannot buy this. You cannot bargain for this. You cannot even trade for this. But it comes for free. You can have it for free. You can have it for free. Because there is a God who said, if you will draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. He said, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. I'm with you, but I shall be in you. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means there is a fire. There is a fire. There is a drink. There is an elixir. There is something. There is something that's greater than dope. That's greater than alcohol. That's greater than immorality. That's greater than all the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. This something in this house tonight is a treasure. It's the greatest treasure you'll ever be privileged to touch. There is nothing like this. Never has has been, never will be again. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And that's me, and that's you, and that's them, and that's them out there. It's everywhere. It's in the world tonight. Thank God we have it in this grand ballroom. Thank God. It is upon us. Would you clap again? Hallelujah. Maybe these reasons I'm stating tonight, maybe it's the reason that there is now close to 4 million alcoholics in the United States today. Maybe drunkenness is an expression of emptiness. Man needs to be filled with something. There's a void in there. Man was made with a void. There's something in here that only Jesus can satisfy. You'll never fill it with anything. You'll never fill it with pleasure. You won't fill it with lust. You won't fill it with money. You won't fill it with alcohol. You won't fill it with drugs. You won't fill it with anything. You won't fill it with success. And you won't fill it with degrees and education. You will not fill it with philosophy either. There's something in here that can only be satisfied when you come to the feet of this man called Jesus. There's something in you that will never be satisfied. You'll find that you cannot live without him. You cannot live without him. Oh, you should be a lot more intense than that, because you've got this. Most of you here tonight have got what I'm talking about. He's alive to you. He's real in your heart. He's real in your soul. You can feel him. The Apostle Paul said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But take into your life that real elixir, that Spirit of life of the Almighty God. When you do, when you are filled with that Spirit of God, you will be happy. You will sing songs to the Lord, and you will make melody in your heart. This world is a big joke. This world is a big joke. It's a big joke. They've got psychologists and psychiatrists on every street corner. I want to tell you something. Psychology is the least sound of all the medical sciences. You go to a psychologist and say, I'm unhappy. He will say to you, something's wrong. You should be happy. You go to a psychologist and say, I'm happy all the time. He will say, something's wrong with you. Nobody's happy. You can't win in this world. You cannot win in this world. You cannot win in this present world. But I can take you to a place where you can. I can take you to a place where you will win. I can take you to a place where you can drink from the waters of life and you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What would give a person more self-worth than this glorious Holy Ghost? What would give anyone more self-worth than this glorious Holy Ghost? That adulteress that was about ready to be stoned. She just got a little sip of it, and it changed her life forever. Who is there here tonight that the Lord would reject if you said, Lord, fill my soul with your Spirit? Who is there here tonight that the Lord of glory would reject? Zacchaeus, come down, for today I go to lunch with you. He had stolen from the people, but salvation had come to his house. If they can make it, then you can make it. If they can make it, I can make it. If he'll receive her, he'll receive me. If he'll receive a man climbing up a tree, he'll receive me. Yes, he will. God will accept you. He will accept you. What am I really saying tonight? I'm saying this. Come and get a drink at this glorious bar of salvation. What I'm really saying tonight is step up to the bar. The drinks are on the house. You can drink as much as you want in this place. You can get all that you want from God. You can just drink your cares away. You can drink it away. You can drink your problems away. You can open your soul. You can open your heart. There's something flowing in this place tonight. Something more wonderful, I reiterate, than human tongue could ever tell. There are no words. There are no songs. There are no expressions, no adjectives, no adverbs that could ever adequately express or explain or declare to the world what the Spirit of God does for a human being. There's no way to describe it. All we can do is let it go. Just let it go and demonstrate it. It gets a hold of us. It gets a hold of us. And the shy become bold. And the bold become bolder. And your life is turned around. You are changed forever. It's no wonder we get a little tipsy sometimes in church. It's no wonder we get carried away. It's no wonder we stagger sometimes. We might get a little loud here tonight because when people start to drink, they get loud. Well, you're beginning to sip away, but you're not really drinking it out. You're not guzzling it the way I want you to tonight. I want you to lift your hands in the presence of the Lord and open your soul to the breath of Almighty God that is in this place. This place is filled with Pentecostals tonight. This house is filled with Pentecostals, and you know what I'm talking about. You got it 10 years ago. You got it 5 years ago. You got it 40 years ago. You got it 50 years ago. You got it last night, but thank God you got it. And tonight we need to stir up the gift that is inside of us. We need to go back to the water. We need to go back to the fountain once again and drink it with everything that is inside of us. Oh, open your soul, open your heart, open yourself tonight to that which is in this house. I don't know what you came to see, I don't know what you came to hear, but I'm here to tell you tonight, this is not just another stinking religion. We got a hold of something. We got a hold of Jesus. And he's the best thing that has ever happened to any of us. And I make no apologies to you. I make no apologies to anybody. I do not apologize for what is going on in this house tonight, because what is here is from ancient days. This is from ancient days. This is from ancient days. Oh, clap your hands. Oh, ye people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph, with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, loose us. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's it. Some of you are beginning to break through. You need to break through. You need to get enough of this that you can go out tomorrow and be changed. Be totally changed. Some of you have got to live differently than you've been living. You've got to change your life pattern. You can't go back out there in the world and live like them. You can't go back out there and flirt with all of that. You've got to get enough of this new wine from heaven in this place tonight that you will never ever thirst again for the things of this world nor the things of this flesh. And you can. Hallelujah. Thank you. You may be seated or you may stand. I don't care which you do. Jesus, walk among us tonight. Huxley, Aldous Huxley said, I want something that will atone us with our fellows in a glowing exaltation of affection. Enmity can go away. Wrongs can be made right. You can't sit or stand in a Pentecostal service where this new wine is flowing and hate anybody or be jealous of anybody or envious of anybody. If you do those things, you need a good stiff drink. You need to get loaded. You need to get loaded on this new wine that flows from heaven. Hallelujah! When you are angry and you are fomenting all kinds of animosities, you are probably demonstrating that you need a real drink from the wells of salvation. It will take away inhibitions and give you that exaltation of affection. I won't go into detail here tonight, but I want to tell you some of the worst derelicts in all the world are now among us. Some of the worst. But anybody comes in here and points a finger at them, we can say, oh no, it's all right. He's all right here. He's safe because he now has become one of us. We've got X everything among us. And the world wouldn't have you, but there was a Jesus that took you in. And now we're a part of the royal household of faith. Oh, let's be honest about this. We were a bunch of nobodies going nowhere. Most of us lived on dead-end streets, and our house number was zero. But Jesus came walking down the road of my life one day, and He knocked on my heart's door, and I opened the door. I've never seen a face like His. I've never heard a voice like His. I've never heard words like these. I've never felt anything like it. I've never known anything like this. I've never known anything like this. Even the worst robber, even the worst murderer, even the worst fornicator, the worst of all of them, when you come in here and you get a drink of this, you're safe, you're safe, you're safe, you're safe, and you're my brother, and you're my sister, and we belong to the family of God. Have you ever heard anything like it? Have you ever heard such a story? We are here tonight, red, yellow, black, green, and white, and purple. And doesn't make any difference. We just hug each other and just love each other and just shake hands and say, praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, sister. What do you mean? He's got black skin. She's got yellow skin. Doesn't make any difference. She's my sister. He's my brother. We belong to the family of God. We belong in this royal household of faith. Nobody but Jesus could make such a difference. Nobody but Jesus could do such a thing. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight, if you are here tonight and you think the church is cold, that people are cold, maybe you need a drink. If you feel that life isn't worth living, you definitely need a drink. The answer to your troubles is God. God is the answer. Jesus is the answer. There was a woman whose name was Hannah. She prayed, and she began to act drunken. She said, I'm not drunk, Eli. I'm praying. I just got a drink of something that I've never tasted before. There's no substitute for having the touch of God deep in your heart, deep in your soul. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. He came back to camp staggering. He staggered for the rest of his entire life. He never did get over that. He had a drink at the fountain that never shall run dry. He staggered the rest of his days. He staggered the rest of his days. You may get carried away here tonight, but you'll not have a hangover tomorrow morning. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. All that out there is the devil's substitute for the real thing. I'm not serving Pabst Blue Ribbon here tonight. We're not serving Miller High Life here tonight. We're not serving any of that garbage, any of that stuff. But what we are serving here is this. You need to come and to drink of the water of life. You need to come and drink from the wells of salvation. You may be seated for a moment. Everybody be seated. I want you to hear this. While you're being seated, would you clap your hands? I want to tell you something. And they can vouch for this because they paid me through to the Holy Ghost. If anybody 27 years ago would ever have told me I'd act like this, I'd said, you were nuts. You are crazy, man. There is no way. I don't even clap in church. I don't even want to do anything. I didn't do any of it. I didn't do it, did I? I didn't do any of it. They know. And there were people who thought I was very stiff and starchy. I was scared to death. I'm not doing stiff and starch. And they wanted to just knock me out on the floor. They wanted God to work me over. Well, He did. They got their way. And now I'm going to work you over. I'm here tonight to tell you, if we're ever going to be Pentecostal, we had better be Pentecostal now. Not tomorrow, but now. You better stand up and be counted. You better stand up and say, yes, 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 yes. I'm one of those. I'm one of that wild bunch that worships over there like that. Jesus. Jesus. I want you to sit down. I want you to hear the rest of my story. I'm going to tell you something about myself. I would never have acted like this. I would never have dreamed ever acting like this. But the first church I ever pastored on Webster Street in Schenectady, New York, one night I came to church and I was exhausted with it all. And I sat on the platform and looked at these people. And sometimes when I'm on a platform, I close my eyes. It's not always because I am carried away in the spirit. It's because I want to blot out your ugly faces. That's why I do it. Your spirits are 10 miles long and I'm at it with you. If you don't want it, I'm going to fly away with Jesus and get a touch of God. And I'm going to go home, put my head on a pillow, and I'm going to rest in peace. This is my state of mind. But for somehow, some other reason, the Spirit of God was extremely merciful to me on this night. He's good to us whether we are good to Him or not. You know that? He is. He's not like us. That's where we make our big mistake. We think because we're wretched, He's going to take it out on us. He doesn't treat us the way we treat Him. He's always good, always there, always merciful, always benevolent, always, 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 always. And so, the Spirit of God came on me, and I got to laughing. Well, church is not the ideal place to laugh, especially if you're laughing by yourself with no one talking to you. And I was laughing by myself with no one talking to me. I couldn't help it. There was something that got a hold of me. It was absolutely tremendous. It was like something inside of me was actually moving up and down. And it felt so tremendous. It just felt so wonderful. And I thought, I've got to get myself together. I got to preach a message of some kind here tonight. I couldn't get it together. And I finally was able to hide behind the song leader. We had a big pulpit that you couldn't see through. And I got behind this and I sat there just snickered and laughed. And I thought, Song King, you are really, I don't know what's going on with you, but you are into something. And I couldn't keep it together. I finally was able to hold myself together to get up and to read my text. And I read my text and began to preach. But I laughed through most of it. Well, this time, the people were laughing at me, not because they were really into it with me, but because they were just, you know, it just sort of catches fire after a while. Finally, as I was trying to come to the end of this thing, I was going to close it down so I could get out of there and do whatever it was I had to do to get some kind of relief from this, something that was just thrilling my soul inside. You can get where you just don't care. You just don't care. I can feel it coming tonight. I can feel it coming tonight. But what happened was this. In this old church, we had this archway like this. There was an arch over the pulpit. And I made the mistake at the end of my message of leaning into this wall for support. And when I did, something felt good. The wall felt good. It just felt good. And my knees went weak, and I slid down the wall. I couldn't stay up. I gave my altar call lying on the floor going like this. I couldn't talk. I was laughing. I would just say, the whole church came to the altar. The whole bunch of them came. There was laughing. There was crying. And we carried some of those people out of there drunk on the Spirit. I want to tell you, in the early days of Pentecost, people left our churches drunk on the Spirit. They had to be taken home. They had to be put in bed. They had to absolutely be covered up because they were out of it. I prayed a man through to the Holy Ghost in Connecticut one night. He was a truck driver. He went out, stumbled to his car. We found him sitting in the seat laughing. He could not get the key in the ignition. He would try, but he couldn't hit it. We had to drag him out of the truck, put him on the other side, and his wife carried him home, and they put him to bed. I know of a case where a woman got the Holy Ghost in one of our services. Her husband was unsaved. They let her out. They were afraid because her husband was sort of wild man. They were afraid. She got out, and she crawled on her hands and knees to the door. She couldn't walk, and she opened the door, closed the door. She crawled on the carpet upstairs, got herself undressed, and crawled into bed. But she couldn't control this Holy Ghost, and she got to shaking in the bed. It woke her husband up about 11:30 at night. And he said, "What's wrong with you?" She was speaking with tongues. She couldn't talk to him. He got scared, called the fire department. And the fire department came, and the rescue squad came in, and she's just speaking with tongues, and tears are rolling down her face. And the husband doesn't know what's going on because he's never seen her act like this before. And all of a sudden, there was one of the rescue squad that took a good look at it. He said, listen, where has this woman been? The husband said, she's been to church. The rescue squad man called the rest of the troop over. He said, listen, he said, this is a Pentecostal situation. He said, I know something about this. He said, we might as well go. We're not going to get anybody here. I want to tell you that. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. What I'm saying tonight is this, that is our heritage. That is our heritage. It is our heritage. It began with a staggering. It began with an accusation of drunkenness. It began with people out of their heads. It began with people talking out of their heads. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it is still in the earth. And this drink, this new wine tonight, is just as powerful as it was on the day of Pentecost. For it is written that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He has not changed. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what I'm saying tonight is this. You need to step up to the bar. The drinks are on the house. You need to drink as much as you want. You can get literally as much as you want in this house tonight, in the name of Jesus. Would you stand to your feet? Would you worship the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I know that some people will say that we're too emotional. I know there are people here tonight that say it's just a hype. They'll say all kinds of things. Say whatever you want, but I want to get stoned. I want to absolutely get drunk on the Spirit of God. I want to stumble around. I want to be happy. I want to laugh in the Spirit. I want to talk to this Jesus of Nazareth. I want to tell you, we need to declare war on the devil. You know how to do it? By worshiping the Lord. By worshiping the Lord. By worshiping the Lord. That's how you're going to win this battle in the face of every opposition, in the face of every war. If you can find the grace to dance a little, if you can find the grace to clap a little, if you can find the grace to sing a little, if you can find the grace to laugh a little, something glorious comes into your soul that will change you forever. Sing it.
What he's done for me, I get joy when I think about what he's done for me.
Hallelujah.
I get joy when I think about what he's done for me.
Hallelujah.
What the Lord has done for
me. He's done it.
Oh,
he has
I get
done it.
When I think about what he's done for me.
Yes.
I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy
this
when
the last
I think
night.
About what
you
he's done
get
for
it tonight.
Me. What the Lord has done for me. Oh, I get
Jesus,
joy,
yes.
Joy,
that's
joy.
It, that's it.
What he's
that's
done
it.
For me.
That's what I'm
I
talking
get
about.
Joy when
that's
I
what
think
I'm talking about.
About. What he's
in
done
the name
for
of
me.
Jesus Christ.
I get joy when
Jesus,
I
yes.
think about what he's done
Hallelujah.
For me. What
Hallelujah.
The Lord has done for me.
In the name
oh,
of Jesus.
I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about
Hallelujah.
What he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. What
think about it.
The Lord has done for me. Oh, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. You don't know like
Hallelujah.
I know what he's done for me. You don't know like I know what he's done for
what
me.
What he's done for me.
What the Lord has done for me. I get joy when I think about what
Jesus.
He's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. What the Lord has done for me. Oh, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. You don't know like I know what
he's
done for me.
You need to get your hands in the air.
What the Lord has done for me. Oh, joy. I think about. I get joy. What he's done for me. Joy when I think about what he's done for me. What the Lord has done for me.